You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Everyone, and welcome to the next episode of KoopaCast. This is KoopaCast number 87, directly after Direct, the March 2016 edition. I'm your host, Matt, the multimedia manager of PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. I am joined by two other folks today. I am joined by contributor Harrison Milfeld.
Hey, everybody.
And extra special guest, rarely seen. Alex Schramke.
What's up, everybody? I'm finally back.
After a two-month hiatus.
But he's back with that, just with a great introduction with that awesome hat.
Gotta represent 20th anniversary, yo.
If only we were going to talk about that. Instead, Nintendo undercut us with another Nintendo Direct.
I ain't even mad.
And we're here to voice our opinions on this Direct, our reactions to it, as well as what we think this means for Nintendo going forward in 2016. So, in initial reactions, are we underwhelmed by this? Are we overwhelmed by this? Are we right in the middle?
Kinda, eh.
Yeah, I'm more in the middle on that one, but I mean, I lowered expectations, but didn't really put them way out of the water. So, it's a pretty standard Direct. I mean, I know that we did get leaked certain things. So, I was satisfied.
It was nice getting some concrete release dates for some titles. So, like now, March is going to be very busy, and it's like I'll have a reason to pick up my Nintendo systems again. They've been collecting dust for a little while. We've had a little bit of a drought.
Really? Well, what, you just haven't been playing like Fire Emblem Fates or anything like that yet, or nothing else?
No, I haven't. I've never touched a Fire Emblem game, and I know that needs to change.
Birthright's actually a good way to start off with right now. That to say, mm-hmm. But
maybe I'll have to quit slacking and give those a shot.
Things that that really jumped out to me though, but I don't want to get way too ahead since I know we're gonna go through bullet points in there. But I do. A certain game in particular, whatever, with its reactions to it, whatever, are still getting on my nerves, but we'll move forward until that when it comes up. But I was kind of expecting a new format for this, because didn't they announce after when they said that, when Kimishima said that the directs were going to be coming back, like, at least one more before 2015, end of 2015, but they said that there would be a different format. I was expecting that kind of it, but unless they probably haven't decided on it. But I will say that I don't mind having Bill as an MC for the North American directs. I mean, he may lack that, you know, that bit of charm that Iwata had, but I think he's able to hold his own on there.
Yeah, I'm good with Trennan sticking around for a while. Obviously, he'll get more comfortable into the role as we get through more and more directs.
Definitely. He has a charm all of his own that he brings to the table, so it would be nice to see like a new format, but until then, this is pretty good. I'm just happy to be getting a Direct again, you know?
Yeah, and it almost seemed like we wouldn't be getting one because I think it was the beginning of the year, I assumed we would get one maybe, I don't know, what past Directs have said, led us to believe. I assumed one probably right before Fire Emblem Fates came out. But of course, then they started rolling out those, you know, videos of like what they did with Xenoblade Chronicles X, detailing the new features of the game. And it was at that point, I'm like, we're going to get less Directs, aren't we, right now because of this. But I think that was more of them just trying to give us more, like, you know, hey, we're saving better information for this other direct. So, but yeah.
Let's see. Were there any, like, what's, like, the one game that really stuck out to you guys? Like, that you were like, okay, this is the one. This is, you know, the bullet point in direct. This is what I was waiting for.
The new Kirby game. I was actually wondering if we were going to get another new one on there. I never did try Triple Deluxe. Did any of you guys try that?
Yeah, Triple Deluxe was actually a really good. I definitely recommend playing that one.
Okay, because I've been looking for that to drop in price, but maybe they'll do that with the new Nintendo Selects line or something like down the line. But I was kind of like phasing in and out because during that whole time, I saw the title, you know, what I saw on screen, but at the time, I was kind of fending off and just telling people who were, well, the game that I was talking about, whatever, just fending off people complaints about was, you know, Metroid Prime Federation Force, because, I mean, I will say that some people have a right to actually complain about things, but also you have to realize a lot of this is just so much file. But I mean, I was paying so much time, but right now with this new Kirby game, apparently Kirby is now able to control mechs now, it seems like. So that's a new gimmick. I don't want to say gimmick, but a new gameplay mechanic. And we're also getting, you know, new Kirby amiibos, which I myself am just, as soon as this came on screen, I was like, oh God, please no. My wallet is already taking too much of a storm for this. Please no.
I'm right there with you, if you can tell by my background.
I don't think you've gotten numb from the amount of amiibo, and I figured you just didn't care. You're like, all right, time to expand my collection. Time to build another shelf. Like,
well, that's the thing. Probably the new one I'll pick up is Waddle Dee, because I already have the Smash Bros. Editions of all the other ones, and I find it kind of silly to buy like the same figure, which is why I didn't buy any of the Super Mario Brothers edition ones. So I'll probably just pick up Waddle Dee as far as the new ones go.
That one looks really good on there. I mean, I never did get the King DDD one, but a friend of mine who actually did pick up the Smash Brothers version of that, apparently he said that one's quite a rock, essentially, as far as an amiibo. Like, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah,
it's
pretty solid plastic.
No, but this new Cooper game does actually generally interest me a little bit more, knowing that I did miss out on Triple Deluxe, so it seems like they're going a little bit more different direction with this one, and I do like how they're going beyond the idea. I'm like, hey, Kirby's able to get into mechanized suits this time. I'm like, all right, you know, we're going a little different places on this one.
I like the multiplayer battle mode that they showed off with the boss mm-hmm. gauntlets. That looked really cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that and the side of the Kirby game that interests me, I was glad that we actually got some concrete information as far as a release date for, Star Fox, to be exact, even though part of me still worries about that because I was really holding out hope it would get maybe a month's delay because of the rumors circulating around how its controls have been hindering the development of between, you know, I believe EAD and even Platinum Games. Now, Matt, did you play Star Fox Zero at E3 last year?
No, I'm like the only one who did not play Star Fox Zero. I didn't even go to E3 last year.
I'll go for it.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I got a chance to play it at PAX, and so I'm not surprised it's the control scheme is giving them a difficult time because it was incredibly awkward for me to play. And I wanted to focus my attention on like the screen and see all the action, but just having to look down at the gamepad was kind of a letdown.
But is there still the option to turn off those gyro controls, or is that just like a set motion that they're having in there? Because I'm getting conflicting reports of people saying now, oh, you can turn them off or you can't.
They didn't seem to mention anything during like the Nintendo Direct of whether or not you can or you cannot turn off the gyro controls. I assume it's probably like they are going to have the option that you can turn off the gyro controls simply because that's just how Nintendo has tackled games with gyro controls in the past, is just having that option.
Yeah, kind of like with Splatoon. One of my friends was turned off by it because of he did not really like the fact of having to, you know, look around via just holding the gamepad. And he asked me, oh, can you turn that off? And I was like, I'm not sure. Like, because I had just recently bought the game at the time, like I was like a day or two old. And it wasn't until I realized, oh, wait, you could turn them off. But I was so accustomed to those gyro controls playing online, I didn't want to go back to just, usually analog sticks. We did see that Project Guard, which was when a Mii Metal project from like 2 years ago, shown at two different E3s, that was reborn as Star Fox Guard, which does look like a neat little like diversion for like a multiplayer aspect.
See, now was it reborn or was it just kind of always going along that path and then we just kind of finally got confirmation? Because if I remember correctly, during the E3 2013, if you looked at like videos of Project Guard, you could see there were Star Fox symbols on some of the in-game assets.
I think you're right. Yeah, because there was a Project Guard and Project Giant Robot, which I assume maybe something tells me Giant Robot may have been absolved probably into Star Fox Zero, and
It actually went into the Kirby game.
jeez. Oh man, I think that was Sakurai's doing. He just said like, you know what? We have an idea. I could probably put this, giant robot game, whatever. Oh, really? What do you got right now? It's like Kirby games. And it's like, okay, that works. I don't know. From what I saw from like Star Fox Zero, I'm still not cautiously optimistic at all. I mean, as excited as I was to see it announced finally at E3 last year, it seems like every little news, it's like my interest just slowly goes down. Well, am I going to pick it up? Yeah, but I just need more confirmation for me because I don't want to buy essentially what is like going to be like a $60 retail game, and it's going to have the same length as a usual Star Fox title, which is essentially like you beat it in an hour and a half or 2 hours.
I'd
Well,
say,
true,
yeah.
but
Oh, go ahead, Alex.
obviously, but you also have the option of exploring different routes, and I'm sure there's just like Star Fox 64, there's going to be tons of little things that you can do as far as like, score attack mode and things like that, so.
Well, they are, and I don't know. For me, when I wrote like a couple of years ago for I was like when I wrote a couple of years ago, like, five different Nintendo franchises that need to be remade or, need a comeback, Star Fox was one of them. And one of them I suggested how, maybe you could do these different branching paths via the gamepad, find these different routes. But I felt like, for something like, Star Fox, I mean, Platinum Games is known to make, very chaotic games in terms of like, and frantic gameplay. But they've been also known to be very, not terribly short, but averaging around maybe 8 to 10 hours. And in the case of this one, I want that bit of experience of Star Fox, but yet still with the branching paths. It just, I just wanted to go beyond the fact like, hey, here's the Lylat system, and here's essentially a five system path plus Venom. It's I just feel like it needs to go a little bit more broader in terms of that because I feel like this game could get easily, not panned, but also just, negate, put down because of the fact that like a lot of its gameplay elements seem still stuck in the 90s. And I but then again, Star Fox and Platinum Games does seem like a good marriage, and I that's the only thing that's keeping me hope right now for this actually turning out good is because of Platinum Games' involvement.
I can see what you're saying. It almost feels like they're taking like the safe route because they've experimented in the past with different play styles. They're like, we know this one is what fans like, and that's
Did we just lose Alex?
I think we did.
That's no okay. We gotta wait for him to come back. Well,
I
that
hope.
way we can always vamp or something like that. Let's see. I guess I'll talk about my thoughts on Star Fox Zero.
Yeah, please.
They haven't really specified the number of levels that's going to be in Star Fox Zero, so it could be more, it could be less than what we've seen previously. I'm gonna go ahead and hold off on there. As far as the main mechanics, I feel like Star Fox 64, in the case of its sequels, was more like of if it's not broken, don't fix it kind of scenario. Like every sequel or every iteration of the Star Fox franchise, after 64, I felt like you'd always hear like a very same or similar complaint, which is, we just want more Star Fox 64. Please give us more Star Fox 64. And what we have here, Star Fox Zero, is essentially more Star Fox 64, which is exactly what people were looking for. And this is, of course, controls aside, like whatever wonky controls could possibly be in there. Let's push that to the side. This seems like it's more exactly what people have been wanting for,
Yeah.
Shoot,
No, no, no.
two decades, if you think about it. Was it Star Fox 64? It's 1996, right?
98 or
It's
97.
98.
Yeah, that was when,
98.
and but yeah.
Close enough.
No, I agree with you on there, Matt, about how, like, it's, oh, what the people want is just essentially Star Fox 64, but I do want that return of, like, oh, that same feeling you have for it, but just, something more essentially that, not just like, it's kind of like the same thing when I saw a Twilight Princess after, Wind Waker. As much as I loved Wind Waker, and then I played Twilight Princess after multiple times, which is a game I enjoyed based in probably the best of dungeons in the series, and I can't wait to relive it again with the HD version. The one slight complaint I saw for its and one of its flaws is that it did play it too safe in terms of like, hey, let's just go back to what it was, in Ocarina of Time, and here's these first three dungeons and this, darker, storyline. It's with Star Fox, it's like they had to reboot basically the story, which, well, it's not necessarily a prequel slash remake. It's, they said, a reimagining, which I think was a good idea because I don't think they would, I'm not sure how they would have retold the story or continuing story after, what was it, Command, I believe, was the last new Star Fox game
Yeah,
back in.
I did some research on the Star Fox series for a something, and I happened to look at the Star Wars or not Star Wars, not excuse me, not Star Wars, Star Fox Command Mission, and they showed all the plot points, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, what? Like, I just want the Star Fox team shooting at Andross, and now it's like everybody's got to, like, there's like an uncle of like one of the Star Wolf teams, and Star Wolf's out somewhere doing something, and there's all these other relatives doing crazy things and with multiple paths, and some are canon and some aren't canon, and it's like that's too much for me. I just want to shoot things in my R-wing at other things.
I did one thing I didn't notice on there. One thing I did like the amiibo functionality where it gives you the Super Nintendo version of the R-Wing, which I thought is a nice little bonus. And they also mentioned something as far as a different path, but it was like warp points or like portals. What was that exactly? Because I kind of just dozed off and it didn't really capture much for me.
They just kind of hit on the idea. They're like, hey, and there's these warp points. And then they showed Star Fox going into one and then Star Fox coming out of
Okay.
one. And maybe it might be similar to how the warp points worked in Star Fox 64, which I think there was only like a couple instances where that happened where you'd have to hit like some. It was like you had to fly through the ring. So if you guys remember the.
The black hole.
Asteroid belt.
Yeah, the asteroid level. If you go through, yeah, the five rings there, then you eventually go through a warp point. There's another one. I want to say it's like in the level before. You either have to choose to go to. I don't know. It's the one where Slippy gets his butt kicked by that robot.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking
Oh,
about.
is that Sector X or something? One of
Sector
those.
X, that might be it. But yeah, and so it might work similar to that, where you have to fly through some rings or something like that.
Now, when you mentioned about the Star Fox Super Nintendo, it still puzzles me that we still have not gotten that in Virtual Console. But I part of me thinks like maybe they're saving it for that release on when Star Fox Zero cuts up. But I'm not sure if that's just because they have something with Argonaut Software, how they can't get like royalties all taken care of, or because the company doesn't necessarily exist anymore. I don't know. It always puzzled me how the original Star Fox is not in the Virtual Console.
I've always heard it was because of the FX chip and they somehow can't recreate it or something like that. Because it would be the same reason why we don't see Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island
Oh,
on
the
there.
Super, yeah, the Super Nintendo version. I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I might have performance issues.
Which, that's a shame because if that's one, if there's one game on the SNES I really like to go back to, it would definitely be the would be Star Fox.
See, that was the one I actually preferred over 64. I mean, I know a lot of people's first Star Fox experience was Star Fox 64, but that one on the Super Nintendo was one, I mean, even to go back to it, yeah, everything looks like melted Lego blocks now, but still, I enjoy the experience I have for what it has and what it did at the time.
It definitely did some extraordinary things, which I like. But let's go ahead and try to move ourselves away from Star Fox here, because there are very many more games to talk about on this Nintendo Direct recap. Another thing I wanted to talk about was we finally have a name and a date for Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Sharp FE.
So basically the new name for Fire Emblem Cross Shin Megami
Right.
Tensei. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. And I was like, can somebody kind of put it up on Twitter? And they're like, what in the world would you call it this kind of name? And the only thing I can think of is, well, the only connection I found out was like, if you look at Tokyo Mirage Sessions, which is TMS, and if you just reverse that, then you get SMT, which is Shin Megami Tensei.
I've been generally interested in this one for a while, even though I'm not too familiar with the Shin Megami Tensei series. I'm glad it exists. It has a, you know, I know it has a certain audience it's going to go to. This type of game, I just don't feel like it's coming out in June, correct?
Yes.
Here in the States. And
June 24th.
from what I heard, it's gotten decent like reviews over in Japan once it was released back in December, but I feel like this is the type of series that may game that it appeals to a certain audience of JRPG fans, but it could easily get lost in June in terms of like I'm saying it is a game that could probably have an audience and have that bit of quirkiness where actually people like it, but it's gonna get lost in terms of sales. I mean, it may be one of those games where I feel like it's gonna be hidden gem, but so from what I hear from this, it's essentially combining pop elements as far as pop music. And but not the turn-based strategy portions of Fire Emblem.
Yeah, allow me. I've got the press release right here, and they've got a description. Allow me to read this. Slay monsters and slay like a pop star, which I guess is also slaying monsters, all at the same time. In this brand new RPG from the acclaimed developer Atlus, a sinister force from another dimension has invaded modern-day Tokyo, resulting in a fantastical barrage of style, fashion, magic, and of course, danger. So play to your strengths in high-energy turn-based battles, then fuse items to craft powerful weapons and crush your foes. Around every corner, you'll find fan service. This is their words.
Oh my, they actually say fan service.
You can write, yeah. You can put that in the
Yeah, at
positive.
least they're acknowledging it, you know?
I don't think it's that kind of fan service. I think it's like references and all that. Including Fire Emblem references, see? Like that. Original songs by Japanese entertainment giant Avex, dungeons themed after the entertainment industry, and eye-catching music performances. So there you go.
See, I think we could learn a lot from the J-pop scene. I mean, I'd go to a Taylor Swift concert if she was out there fighting monsters and going through dungeons while she was singing. That would be pretty cool, I admit.
I'm just picturing that in my head right now, and the more I think about it, I'm like, okay, I may not have the slightest clue probably how to play this game or I go in blind, but I am generally interested because of the wackiness it seems like. It just
It seems very bizarre, and like I said, they know like their target audience who it's going to, but I don't know. I might have to check it out just out of curiosity.
yeah, I'm morbidly curious.
Yeah, that this is one. I mean, when they first announced it, what was it like? Oh God, like
6 years ago, was it?
yeah. When it was just a sin, it was nothing. It was just saying like, hey, it's Shin Megami Tensei X Fire Emblem, and we didn't hear anything for another 2 years. And before that whole speculation, we're thinking like, oh, it's just going to be like what we see of Fire Emblem, but with Shin Megami characters. But no, it's the opposite.
Yeah, I certainly have no idea where they're going, but we'll find out in June 24th, won't we?
I'm actually glad
Indeed.
that's coming out sooner. But I will say, the Treehouse team at North Nintendo of America, they have their work cut out for localization, it seems like, this year.
Yes, they do, but it won't be
Yes.
in hiring new voice actors since this entire thing is going to be in subtitles.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yep, they say, and this is according to the Nintendo Direct now, since this game takes place in modern day Tokyo, all the characters will be speaking Japanese. I guess I can understand that.
That's a interesting choice.
I mean, to me, that just sounds like we couldn't get voice actors together in time, and we need to get this game out. It's been almost a year already.
Yeah, you're right. And I think with other things, probably what we don't know in the fall coming out, yeah, they probably need to rush this. I won't say rush, but just like, we have to make do with subtitles.
I think it's equal parts of that. And again, they know their target audience. A lot of the people, not saying everyone, but a lot of the people that'll be interested in the game, prefer subtitles, like say when watching anime or all there.
Yeah,
They're mainly Hongo stuff.
the subtitle crowd is there. Let's see. We got to hear a little bit more about Lost Reavers, which is Bandai Namco's free-to-play online action game. Which I gotta be honest, I thought we'd wait a little bit longer before we heard that. I thought that would be like an E3 teaser or something like that. But we got it, and it's a game.
Yeah, it's a game. It's one where I don't know. It looks. It's free to play, correct?
Correct. But there are in-game purchases, as the little caption below said in semi-translucent letters.
You sneaky.
That's where they get you. I don't know. This is something where I feel like I would be more enjoyed, obviously, with friends playing, not necessarily with like CPUs. So I feel like I just have to experience a little more of that. And I don't know. This game doesn't really as much grab me. It did when it first, but now I just see it as it just seems like it's a little stopgap just to keep me like, some people with a Wii U just a little bit interested. So yeah.
It certainly seems interesting. Luckily, it's free to play, so we don't have to invest anything to check it out. It's gonna be an open beta and everything. I wonder if there's gonna be voice chat in it at all.
Well, given it's Nintendo right now and how their odd way of actually having to get everybody to do voice chat, maybe, but you have to go through some different means of actually getting appropriate voice commands and chatting with friends while playing this game.
Or just open up a Google Hangouts. That's what we do.
I need to do that
That's
more with
right.
I need to do that more with Splatoon. I don't know. It just
Yeah, you need to join Team PNM. We have a 90% victory rate right now.
I will join you. Then send me the details on there. I mean, I haven't played Splatoon in about a month and a half, but still, I will be gladly doing that.
So
Awesome.
maybe I should stay away. I think I still have like a level 6 Squid Kid.
That's okay. I think
Still.
so does Justin. I don't think he's very high either.
I am level 18 of mine.
I am level 21. But we're all no match for Kaylin, who's like level 27.
She's the master. I think we might have technical difficulties, folks.
Yeah.
Hey, I got kicked out. Are we still going? Yeah, we're still
Yeah,
going.
we are still going strong.
Awesome. Gonna add that control room. Anyway, I can tell you right now. Oh, Kaylin's up to level 29.
Dear sweet goodness.
Let's see where Justin is. He's at level 16. And by the way, all these guys are online according to Splatnet.
Oh.
And Kaylin's actually fighting right now.
Slackers,
So good
all
luck,
of them.
Kaylin. Let's see. So yeah. Oh, and speaking of Splatoon, of course, there's gonna be a couple new updates to that. It sounds like they're gonna be rebalancing some abilities and weapons, but they have not specified which ones. They just said the lesser popular ones because they want to make it more appealing.
Good to see actually that game, it's good to actually see that getting more attention right now, even after their initial free update, well, the initial updates. So it's good to actually see them still continuing actually fine-tuning this game.
I got you. Hey, do you guys mind if I butt in with some late breaking news?
Yes.
All right. It looks like for it's news to do with Pokemon Go. You guys
Oh,
remember that little
cool.
title? Turns out they're going to be starting up field testing Pokemon Go in Japan. Pokemon Go. Excuse me, Pokemon Go. I want to keep saying gold. It's like kind of muscle memory. Pokemon Go in Japan later this month.
Nice. Oh,
This
wow. See, I knew there was a reason I wore the hat today.
The Pokemon Go field test program will give a limited number of users early access to the app. These users will have the opportunity to share early feedback and help improve the Pokemon Go experience for everyone prior to public launch.
Huh. So basically they're this is essentially a beta.
Right,
Okay.
exactly.
Yeah, this is the early access beta that they the closed beta they promised a while ago. That's kind of a bummer that it's only going to be Japan. What gives? I want to go catch some Pokemans.
I
But
guess it's good to start out in a small area, a local
true.
area. Maybe we'll get like a field test before it goes public too, because like I said, we don't know exactly when Pokemon Go is going to go public. So it's like they can get a field test, and then we'll get a field test, and then we're live.
Didn't they say that they were going to probably try and release that in spring 2016, by the time and before the end of spring? Or is that just Miitomo?
I think it was
All
just
I
Miitomo, but I could check.
All I know is I believe during GDC they're going to have a presentation on it, so we'll probably get some more information on it then.
I
Think that was
Actually,
canceled.
yeah, it was.
Was it
Yep. They,
canceled?
yeah, I, when I was looking up the Pokemon Go stuff, whatever, I just saw it was canceled.
Oh, now my heart is broken.
Also, so far, the initial release date for Pokemon Go is at 2016. Nothing more specific than that. Yes. Sorry to bring everybody down with that terrible
Man.
news.
I know,
Gonna
I'm
bring it
looking
down.
forward to that so badly.
I hope my phone actually is able to handle it because I have a really old iPhone, and yeah, I think that I may be pushing it in terms of if that thing's gonna have to work. So.
Well, hopefully they have good wide accessibility. So let's bring up everybody's spirits a little bit here by talking about a very positive game near and dear to my heart, anyway. Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Ah,
And I,
the game that the internet cannot just let go of and just let it be.
and I could say right now that I was very disappointed in the presentation because I did not see any more Blast Ball, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
It still going to be included into it, I guess?
I think we lost him again.
Again.
Man, the man is shutting me down by talking about Blast Ball. What's going on
The
here?
man, I think that's what it is. I think they're trying to shut everybody down because I'm trying to talk positively about Federation Force, which I think a couple people have actually already previewed right now. So, okay, I know you were disappointed because you didn't see more Blast Ball. I am just about tired of just the vile backlash at it. I mean, yeah, it's not the Metroid game we want. I understand that, and I understand to be disappointed, but Nintendo had to disable the thumbs up and thumbs down button on the new Federation of Force trailer because apparently all the people were just downvoting that as quickly as possible. I just don't understand. I mean, I yeah, it's not the metric you want in terms of like that right now, but also I think the one thing that's shocking to me, they've been working on this for 7 years. Tanabe actually mentioned that they were working on this since like 2009, and I think they're working some bits onto it, so that's a little bit shocking, but I mean, I'm saving my judgment until this game releases, and I hope it's actually decently well. I mean, I never did try out Triforce Heroes, and in terms of like a multiplayer-only title, well, somewhat multiplayer-only title, but this one, I just seems. I'm intrigued by it, really. I mean, it's not like they're trying to forget the whole Metroid Prime legacy, but I don't know. People are just too prone because they feel it does make me feel bad that I'm part of a fan base. A Metroid, for some sort of a huge fan of Metroid, that are just acting like children.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're a very opinionated bunch. We'll complain that a game series does the same thing over and over again, and then once they try something new, we're like, oh, this is terrible. It's not what we want at all.
I do have to say, I was kind of off-put a little bit when they mentioned the production time of 7 years. And that's nothing on the developer themselves, but I mean, as we've seen in many cases in the past, at a certain point, once the game's development cycle reaches like X amount of time, then the worst we're going to see out of it. And of course, the most infamous example out there is going to be Duke Nukem Forever, which was in production for like what, 10, 15 years or something like that before it got canceled? What's that?
Like 13 years until it was released finally.
Yeah. And then, of course, when that thing released, it just, it stank up the room.
It was something I think people should have expected what it was going to be, but I've already seen people like predicting for Federation Force, like, oh, this will sell worse than Other M, or this just proves that Nintendo does not know how to handle Metroid. But, you know, like Alex mentioned, it's like, you know, as opinionated some people are, and Nintendo fans, like, oh, we want something new, and then they try something new, like, why are you doing this? Yeah, most I've heard from a couple hands-on previews is like, yeah, it does well, but, I mean, if you're expecting, oh, it's only Metroid in name only, just get past that, I think. I think for a series like this, it needs to explore more the mythology that's just not Samus. I mean, it just can't be that. But, I mean, I think eventually we will get our new Metroid game in the near future, but it's, you know, this is essentially Nintendo trying something new, because when they tried to go back with Other M, I mean, it essentially, you know, felt, I'm one that actually enjoyed it gameplay-wise. I mean, story may have fell flat, but it, with its sales figures, it showed that, hey, even if they tried to appeal to the Japanese audience with how they were trying to go back to the original Metroid, you know, and sales figures showed. Now, with this one, yeah, they're trying new things out, because you could say Metroid is almost kind of like a cursed franchise. It's like, you have one good sell title, then it's down, then it's up, then it's down. I mean, it's a weird anomaly.
Yeah. But that really is just one another Super Metroid. I mean, I think that's my entire argument. That's just what it boils down to. It's just, give me another game like Super Metroid. You know, I mean, plot's okay. Like, the plot in Metroid Prime, like, that trilogy, I mean, that was okay. You know, if you looked into it, you get more of the story. I enjoyed that. But if that all that was taken out, I think I'd still enjoy the game, you know, just as much.
Oh, no. I would, too. I mean, when you read the logs in Metroid Prime, it did make the story just seem a little bit more sinister. And that's what I really enjoyed a lot more about it, was just reading all those different logs.
Yeah. And then, of course, with Other M, they kind of pushed the story to the forefront.
It was I call that a missed opportunity. And yeah, I didn't mind the voice of Samus in that one, but it was just more of a, it was more of a Sakamoto's script that really just, it was a mess, really. I liked it gameplay-wise, I don't know. The story is where it fell flat. And I do roll my eyes when people say, like, oh, this ruined Samus. I'm like, it doesn't ruin everything. You can still... I don't know. It's overreaction / hyperbole that I hear about this, and especially with Federation Force. So, I don't know. Wow.
Yeah,
it's...
I'll definitely give Metroid Federation Force a chance. Shoot, I'd give Other M a chance, but you got to let me skip that first cutscene. I tried watching that on YouTube. I said this story before, but I'll say it again. I've tried watching it on YouTube, and I can only get so far before I have to turn it off.
Yeah.
Because she just narrates everything with zero emotion, and it's like, I cared less about everything in that world the farther she talked on about it.
Yeah, I mean, I will defend, you know, in certain spot parts where, like, oh, why is she afraid of, like, Ridley when she's encountered this so many times, and I forgot what was it, it was ScrewAttack.com. They wrote something like some G1 or some person with a site wrote saying about how, you know, people have PTSD. Imagine that. She just went back from a traumatic experience. I mean, it boiled it down. Yeah, again, there were things that could have been done better, but I just don't have a seething hatred of that game like some people. It's not my favorite Metroid game, but it's not basically nowhere near a terrible game that some people are making out to it. But... No, no. Metroid fans are a fickle bunch, man. It's you know, people think, like, oh, I've waited so long for a new Metroid. Like, try waiting 8.5 years for a new Metroid. That's how much I waited between Super Metroid and Metroid Prime. 8.5 years. That's pain.
I like to say that Metroid Other M is the Skyward Sword of Metroid. And I can say that because Justin's not here to defend that. And that's the only reason I said that.
Watch Skyward Sword get a remaster on the NX before Zelda Wii U comes out.
That's a game that does not need a remaster.
With Motion Plus Plus?
Motion Double Plus. Anyway, let's move on here. I feel like we've got slid off into a tangent. And before we leave off of Metroid, I noticed that, Harrison, you had the exact same tweet I had at the exact same time regarding the Virtual Console stuff.
Yeah.
Which is that We cannot wait to spend yet another set of dollars to yet another copy of Super Metroid.
Is anybody else confused why those, like, Super Nintendo titles? I mean, it makes it seem like, okay, I have a new 3DS. We now have Super Nintendo games on there, but don't you think they'd be able to run on a regular 3DS? That's just what confuses me.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Maybe it has something to do with the, what do they call it, like Pixel Perfect or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's something like that because you can definitely tell there's a different way of how the pixels are like how the pixel resolution, even especially for like say if an NES tile, for instance, that's on the Game Boy, like the 3DS Virtual Console that's on there compared to what's on a Wii U. I mean, the resolution is fairly different and they'll smooth out.
Yeah, here we go. It's called Perfect Pixel Mode, which gives players the option to display these games in their original resolution.
But does that require a significant amount of processing power, is what I wonder.
That I don't know. That sounds like a technical question, which once again, Justin might be able to answer if he were here.
I think the only, I like you said, Matt, I will be buying Super Metroid, seems like, for the 15th time on my 3DS, just because I will. If Super Metroid somehow came from mobile, yeah, it can probably control, like, garbage, but I would still buy it just because it's Super Metroid. I probably will end up buying on there, but there's got to be at least an option for these cross-buys that Nintendo needs to get through because, you know, if I have it on my Wii U, I should be able to have it at least by free or a significantly, you know, lower price. It just it needs to be, it can't be this complicated.
Yeah, that's very true. And especially with their new system that's gonna, or service that's gonna be coming out in the future, which is My Nintendo, which seems to encourage this very thing. But, you know, again, it's just non-existent.
Yeah,
So,
they did briefly touch about that, didn't they? Yeah, oh yeah, they did.
yeah. But it wasn't anything that we haven't already learned from their previous meeting. Was it like the investors meeting, I think? So I guess this is just getting a little bit more. Actually, no, they gave a little less information to the general public than they did in the investors meeting. In that meeting, we heard a little about things like, oh, we might be expanding to like stores and movie theaters and, you know, amusement parks. And in this one, it was just earn rewards coins.
Yeah, that should be rolling out pretty soon too, I think they said.
Yeah, they said in March, like it wasn't somehow March already. So,
Are you
it's
guys
close.
pre-registered?
Of course, I pre-registered the first like chance I got.
Same here. As soon as it came up there, I want a new loyalty problem. As soon as I realized my Club Nintendo's been gone for almost a year, I'm like, it's not the same when I'm buying new games because I'm always like, I hate filling out the surveys, but I just love getting new coins just so I can wait for that time to, you know, buy a new digital title for a reduced price.
Yeah, you always look for that little leaflet whenever you open up the game. It's like, oh, it's not there.
Another major announcement in the Nintendo Direct Circuit was, of course, Paper Mario Color Splash. So a new Paper Mario title for the Wii U, which was, I believe that there was hinted on, there was definitely rumblings around Twitter. I know, I think a little bit on NeoGAF too, that there was going to be a Paper Mario for the Wii U coming out in the near future.
There, yeah, you're right. You probably follow her on Twitter, but she's like disappeared right now after a certain announcement. It was Emily Rogers, who works for like Nintendo for. She, I believe, she confirmed that a new Paper Mario title was coming to the Wii U, and I think the last tweet she said off whatever because this is I was hoping they would announce this more in the direct was apparently she said a certain game is going to be celebrating its 10th anniversary in 2006, and the only time everybody was mentioning it was like Mother 3 localization, you know, and of course the Paper Mario thing came true, so that must mean Mother 3 is coming out there. But with Paper Mario, this one's got a bit of a vibe. It's like it's taken a lot of influence from Okami.
I'm a little nervous about it because I can see parallels to Sticker Star with the card battling mechanic, and that makes me nervous because I was not a fan of the sticker mechanic.
Yeah, that one was not accepted as well as like standard Paper Mario. And
Yeah.
I kind of agree. When I saw the Sticker Star assets, I kind of got like a little nervous myself. I don't know. I think I just like the original Paper Mario formula so much I mean, yeah, the RPG mechanics, they were kind of simplistic, but they kind of added the Mario charm. I think the only thing that I'm really wanting to see in this new Paper Mario is just the wit that they've all the Paper Mario series has always had. And if they have that there, then, they're gonna have a solid landing with this new game.
Oh yeah, even for something that's a simplified title, like even like Super Paper Mario on the Wii, the thing that I just always came back for that was just so great was the writing and the di like you know the writing in the game. I mean, at least every bit of that stuff on there, it just kind of flexes just the world of Mario so much. I mean, it's one thing that I want Nintendo to actually do more of, like make Mario more not like along these lines, but just not standard what you see like in a 3D Mario or a 2D Mario. I mean, bring him out so he has more character. That's what I like about it. Or all the characters in Mario's world, and that seems to be it's continuing. And what's the name of this Mario title? I forgot now.
It is,
Color Splash, I think.
yeah,
Color,
called
yeah.
Paper Mario Color Splash.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's something I've always enjoyed about Nintendo is like when they get like witty and sarcastic, it's always funny. I always love it. And of course, like I think Paper Mario is like the best example of that, like really flexing that muscle. I've seen it in like in smaller doses and say like Link to the Past or even Link Between Worlds. I just recently got a 3DS. I'll admit it took many years for me to get it, but I broke down and got one.
I'm giving you a golf clap right now.
Wait, just now you finally got a 3DS?
Yes, just now.
New 3DS or just a 3DS like regular
I
one?
knew 3DS.
Okay, I was like.
No, I'm not a chump. I knew better than that.
Oh no. I'm just amazed. Like, wow, it took you this long? Wow. I mean,
Oh
it's.
yeah, trust me. I mean, I've gone through meeting after meeting after meeting. Oh, you don't have a 3DS. Oh, you don't have a 3DS. Well, I finally have a 3DS.
I think it's good for you right now because at least you have some catching up to do. I mean, that's what I see with a lot of people who buy like a console that's like late in its life cycle and they get all these games that are cheap. I mean, it's actually it does feel like a better investment.
I've already started my fourth game on the 3DS since I got it 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Nicely.
Yeah, I'm burning through. I've gone through Mega Man Legacy Collection, which was my review, which is currently up at purenintendo.com. Please go check it out. I gave that game a 9.
Nice.
Then I did A Link Between Worlds. That's what I got with the 3DS.
Phenomenal. Just that is just phenomenal.
And then, oh, and I 100%ed that, by the way.
I actually just I 100%ed Majora's Mask 3D for again whatever a couple weeks ago before I played Fire Emblem Fates, and everybody just looks at me crazy. I'm like, you 100%ed that weird Zelda game? I was like, weird. It's like the best 3D Zelda game in my
How could you
opinion.
not 100% that game?
I need to go back and finish it. I was collecting all the heart pieces.
And then finally, I went through and 100%ed Leighton versus Wright.
Never did play any of the Leighton games, and that's one that every series everybody asked me to get into. I might try that out this summer.
I haven't got that. I've never done like a pure Leighton game, but so I might try the Leighton. It was like Azure or something like that. That's on the eShop, so I might check that out sometime in the future.
They're fun. I find myself like I'll play it for a little while, then leave it alone and come back to it. So it'll take me a while to get through a Leighton game, but they're fun if you're in the mood for a puzzle.
Yeah. I hope the music's just as good in Leighton as it is in Leighton versus Wright. Because that is like seriously an amazing soundtrack. And it was like for a handheld system, I was like, this is great. I love it.
Yeah, the music is rocking.
And then finally, I'm on Legend of Legacy, which is like an Atlas game. And it's Atlas and someone else, but I can't remember the other developer right off the top of my head. Anyway, enough about me and my 3DS. I was trying to talk about Nintendo's witty
Things about Paper Mario.
yeah, and where they come through in other games as well. And as long as I keep up with that, I think we're gonna be solid with Paper Mario and I won't be worried about it.
I'll give it a fair shot. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. I'll just be cautious for now, because it's too early to really tell.
And of course, we can't not talk about everyone's upcoming Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games.
I'm glad to see Nintendo is keeping Sonic alive in some way.
Well, I mean, we got Sonic Fire and Ice, Sonic Boom Fire and Ice coming out sometime in the future.
I'm just brimming with excitement with those, aren't I? Just look at this face.
Hey, the 3DS version was better than the Wii U version, so.
I know. I mean, the Wii U version, when you looked at it, it was just unfinished, and I don't. Apparently, Sega has some major announcement coming up about Sonic soon, so
Is it going to be that movie?
the movie.
Yeah, they're coming up, yeah, Alex knows, so I'm not alone. That wasn't a dream. They are coming out with a Sonic the Hedgehog movie, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know how that's gonna be. I don't find the humor of the cartoon series enjoyable.
I have a good idea, and it's Sonic. They didn't say Sonic Boom; they just said Sonic. I have a good idea of how it's gonna turn out.
A bunch of forced one-liners
Yeah,
for like an hour and a half.
I really hope it's actually just Sega's version of the '90s Super Mario Brothers movie.
Would actually be amazing.
Like, I mean, the entire kit and caboodle about the pre-production, like, you have like seven teams of writers, and we just keep rewriting the script while we're still on shoot. The main character who plays Sonic is getting drunk.
And yeah, the main character, yeah, and somebody who plays as the main character is just getting injured on set. Wow.
Sean Leguizamo was somehow there.
Yeah, he is this.
Tails needs to be like a hyper-realistic fox, just with the two tails.
In a flaming yin yang shirt.
Yes.
I think we've wrote this movie. I think we need to stop the podcast right now and
I will have a draft where I am slightly when I'm in, finished by tomorrow. I might be inebriated when I wrote some of the lines, so yeah, we'll go with that.
okay, I'll start making calls and I'll get Leguizamo on the line. I'm sure he'll be thrilled.
Forget a
Leguizamo.
potential Disney partnership. Nintendo needs to partner with us for movies.
Exactly.
Disney, I'm getting Tommy Wiseau to make this. If this thing's going, if this garbage fire is going to burn, I want it to be burning to the sky where everybody sees it.
Yes.
And the whole thing will take place in Rio.
Did anybody actually play any of the old past Sonic and Olympic games? I just.
Oh wait, no, I played a bit. I think I rented it one time and played it with some friends, and it was there. I
It's
think
kind of
the
like a
Mario.
very underwhelming, like Mario Party type thing.
It's not. It's less Mario Party because it's more skill based than like luck based. And visually, it's fine. I think it's more natural to see the Mario characters doing the Olympic sports than the Sonic characters. And I think part of that is because we've seen Mario characters do so many other sports like golf and volleyball and tennis.
What has Sonic's friends done? I mean, that's the thing. When I look at Sonic's friends, aside from Knuckles and Tails, I'm like, yeah, you really don't have that many good friends here. It's just a lot of these different characters are just devoid of any real charm or character. And
I'm sure they
but
all have attitude, though.
oh yeah, they have a lot of attitude. Straight from the 90s. Still can't get out of it. I don't know, but no one preview from the game I did actually kind of just say like, okay, I might try that out if I actually thought the game was they have rugby in it. So, as
Yeah.
someone who, as someone who used to play rugby, well, not professionally or amateurly, sorry, I do like, in high school and such like that, whatever. It was pretty fun. So,
The sport of kings.
And
then, of course, they also have rhythmic gymnastics clubs.
I want to see how that plays out.
I mean, we did a little bit with tails prancing around there.
I know that, but I want to see Toad do that. Just his little, trying to see his little nubs of his legs, whatever, just trying to jump while holding a baton, whatever, like that. It'd be hilarious to look at.
I hope he fails miserably. I wish nothing but the worst for Toad and his ilk.
Oh. Except for Captain Toad. No, don't, we can't touch him.
Fine. Okay, Captain Toad is the exception because he's actually useful. But regular Toad, I don't even want to talk to that guy. I'm still not over that Mario Party incident. Okay. And I think I'll leave that on a mysterious note. Of course, other games that we haven't really kind of touched on, but have been announced, Azure Striker Gunvolt 2 is coming up.
And didn't they announce a reduced price for that one? Like for the, not the second one, but for the
The
first
first
one?
one, yeah, Azure Striker Gunvolt will now be $9.99, and that'll run through till June 1st.
Don't know. I'll have to check that out. That was I knew people asked. Yeah, this is and that's made by WayForward, isn't it?
I can't remember. I want to say yes, but I don't know. Let me look that up right now.
I'm looking at yeah.
No, Inti Creates.
Okay, gotcha.
I did, yeah. I tried the demo of the first Azure Striker Gunvolt. Gameplay was fun. Dialogue, but not so much.
That's one I wanted to try out. So that might be on my hand, my that might be on my radar.
Yeah, I mean, and have you, if you, if you haven't tried the demo, I'd, definitely give it a shot. It's actually a very generous demo. I think you're allowed to play through three levels.
It's not bad.
No, not bad at all. And I got a pretty good idea of the game and its mechanics.
It's kind of got that Neo Geo like side scroller kind of beat 'em up side of ways that I always got that vibe from it from the few videos I saw.
I got a lot of Mega Man X vibes.
Even better, even better.
Yeah.
Perhaps I'll give the demo a shot as well.
Well, actually, I get more of a Mega Man Zero versus than Mega Man X.
Better comparison. I only tried one of the games out of that series. I really wish I would have picked up the collection of that when they had the DS.
Yeah, I mean, they're on Virtual Console if you want to pick those up.
Oh yeah.
I think I could play the first two Zero games. I think the only Mega Man series I haven't played is Mega Man ZX.
Yeah, that one I think it got lost in the shuffle for me.
Other games here. Sorry, moving along here, because we're running out of time here, and I gotta push this train forward. Hyrule Warriors Legends. We saw a little bit more of that. We saw DLC pack. There was a Wind Waker costume for Ganondorf. What's her name? Medley is going to be a DLC character for both the 3DS and the Wii U version.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Can you cross? Didn't they say something about cross-buying, where if you own some of the other things, like you can, like the Wii U version, you can actually transfer it over, like some DLC packs?
They mentioned something like that, but like they were kind of vague on it, so I couldn't give you anything like concrete. But there will be some kind of cross-buy where you'll get like a code and you can migrate some of the DLC over. That's about as much as we know, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Other games are Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix, which is, offers more than 100 rhythm games, 30 of which are new to the series. Additional 70 have been selected from previous games in the series. So, people who thought about getting into the Rhythm Heaven games and have not, might want to look about picking this one up. I haven't seen Rhythm Heaven in any like Virtual Console titles at all, so this seems like a good opportunity.
It looks nice and bizarre. I might give it a shot. I've never played any of the games.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard good things about it, so it seems like right up my alley for a game. So I'll definitely give that a shot. Monster Hunter Generations, which is known as Monster Hunter Cross in Japan, will be coming out. People who purchase Monster Hunter 4 will be able to receive bonus content. If you're an avid Monster Hunter fan, you have even more to look forward to.
I have so many of my friends who are so into that right now, and I wish I could, but I think it was either that, and I was wanting to dive into that or Xenoblade Chronicles X, and I chose Xenoblade Chronicles X instead because I was just more interested in that world. But I mean, I've heard good things about Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, and even to this day, I think if you're picking up a 3DS, it's probably one of those few titles that is like, hey, it should be on your list to own. But it's got a steep learning curve, though, from what I heard.
Definitely. Speaking of Monster Hunter 4, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, it's going to be offered at price point of $20 for the next 48 hours.
Not bad.
Which means if you're listening to this podcast next week, you're already too late.
Sorry.
Bravely Second End Lair, we got to see a little bit more of that. There's a free demo of the game coming out on March 10th.
That's already out in Europe, right?
I believe so, yes.
Because I feel bad for the Europeans who just found out when Fire Emblem Fates is coming out. And that's not coming out until mid-May, and I'm like, oh, Boy, you poor people.
It seems Twitter was abuzz with the Cat Master class, I believe.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which I was definitely like... oh, by the way, I've got it here. Bravely Second and Lair was released in Europe on February 26th.
Huh. I think that's a weird trade-off. It's like, hey, Europe, you get Bravely Second, and we get Fire Emblem.
Yeah, we're the last to get Bravely Second, it looks like.
Hmm.
But yeah, I know, I heard Trinan, he was trying to describe the Catmancer class, and you can tell he was just confused about it enough to... There was a slight hesitation.
Oh, yeah, that's where I noticed at that bit, or I think I decided, I was like, all right, I think I'm going to enjoy Bill as, like, heading these directs if he's given, like, the reins to it. I was like, okay, that's what I wanted, Bill.
Yeah, he's like, there's a Catmancer class, and you feed cats treats, and they'll perform the trick. I'm like, yeah, they should have done more than one take on this. He didn't seem too enthused about Catmancer.
The internet loves their cats.
And of course they had an interesting wizard class where they can combine different kind of spells to create new effects, which I thought was definitely a very interesting element to add to the game. After that, we heard about Dragon Quest VII, Fragments of the Forgotten Past, which is a remastered version of Dragon Quest VII, so, you know, new 3D models. It's been relocalized, too. So...
This goes to show that the 3DS is really becoming a bit of a premier system for JRPGs. I mean, if that's like the one go-to genre that you just love, you know, I really do feel like the 3DS is the system to own for that type of, like, you know, if you were into that. And I don't know, it's just like between that, it seems like that genre just has a bit of resurgence right now. But I mean, Dragon Quest is not really up my alley for that one, but it does have that audience that I know a bunch of 3DS owners are going to enjoy with.
Mm-hmm. It's impressive the amount of work that they put into it. It just seems like you said that there's kind of like a renaissance going on with the JRPG.
And finally, just not finally. We had two more announcements. Mini Mario and Friends Amiibo Challenge. So a game's perfect for somebody like Alex who has every Amiibo in the world.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm talking about that display case right behind you.
Nah, it's a Friends.
So, you and Kaylin can jaw on about all the Amiibo that you have while you play this game that takes advantage of every Amiibo that we have.
Didn't Game Freak announce something?
If they did, I completely missed it.
And I'm looking that up now. Oh, yeah, it's Pocket Card Jockey. It's essentially a horse racing game mixed with solitaire.
Oh, I didn't see it was Game Freak. It's right here, Game Freak's new mashup.
Didn't they, like, kind of hint at that, like, a long time ago?
Yeah,
that
I think it's...
familiar.
I think it's just taken a while for them to get it released out here. Or... Mm-hmm. I was a little shocked we didn't see anything more about Box Boy, Another Box, because that was released in Japan. I assume we'd probably hear something more about it.
Maybe they'll come in, like, a future director, maybe, like, an E3 announcement or something.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But, yep, Pocket Card Jockey, that seems like something that I could really, like, if I got it, I'd get really into it and start, like, because I don't know, I mean, have either of you played Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember that Chocobo breeding thing?
Yeah.
You can make him faster and put him in races and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this thing seems like that, and I invested hours and hours into that little bare bones game.
The game within a game. Oh, yeah. Those.
So
we never
see
you again.
Yeah, so if this could return on a vengeance and, you know, it hooks me just right, then yeah, you'll never see me again. But, okay, yeah, and that's it for the major announcements. Of course, there was also the Isabelle Amiibo figure will be sold separately from the Amiibo Festival bundle.
Yeah, with two different outfits.
Yeah.
Gotta get Isabelle ready for summer.
Yeah, she has winter outfit and summer outfit. Both figures will launch on June 10th. And after that, along with that, Amiibo cards, Series 4 of the Animal Crossing Amiibo cards will also launch on June 10th. And that's pretty much it for the entirety of our Nintendo Direct. And you can see all 24 posts on purenintendo.com right now.
Please visit. It was a lot of
yes.
work.
Yes, it was. I came home from work from my other job and immediately sat down and started typing away for news posts.
That's dedication, folks.
Yeah, a lot of hard work goes into that.
I missed a meal because of you.
Because
I'm talking
of
to Nintendo, not the audience.
Nintendo.
Audience, you guys are great. Don't ever leave us. But we have to leave you because I have to wrap up this KoopaCast. So I want to thank both you, Harrison, and Alex for joining me in this episode.
Hey, it's always a pleasure.
It's good to be back.
And I would like to thank our listeners for tuning into the KoopaCast this week. Now, if you have a question for the KoopaCast, you can always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also talk to us on Twitter. We each have our own Twitter handles, and we love talking to our fans. I am at purely_Matt. Harrison is at H. Milfield. H. Milfeld. Alex is at Alex Schramke. And all of us together are at Pure Nintendo. If you want to hear more of the KoopaCast, you can always take a look at our YouTube page, youtube.com/purenintendo. And for our audio listeners, you can always go to iTunes and look up the KoopaCast. And for everyone else out there, you can always check out our audio collection at purenintendo.com/podcast. And finally, for more news, reviews, and features, please check out purenintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody.